It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This. What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
All right, the latest on the NBA and the Celtics' involvement therein. Murray's mentioned this a couple times in the updates. If you're watching on the simulcast, NBC Sports Boston, you missed the top of the hour one. So why don't you just repeat that Ryan Russillo tweet again, Murray, that you've had today?
Sure. He tweeted, "Can never tell if teams are really trying to move up or everyone just calls each other to see what the action is. However, two teams that I'm hearing are the most aggressive to get in the top 10, the Clippers and the Celtics."
Okay, so something that Jimmy Stewart, you know, was discussing yesterday. The Celtics are very interested in moving up. They're very interested in... Luka Doncic, the Euro kid who's coming over. Now, top 10 doesn't do it, right? There's a report overnight that the Atlanta Hawks have earmarked him at number 3. So, Jimmy Stewart, do we have any updated beliefs from the people that you've talked to? What do you think's going on there?
I have no updates.
Okay, so if...
Sorry to disappoint.
No, but if the Hawks are going Doncic at 3, you're out, right?
I would think so. I mean, I will add this, but this isn't from usual person. This is from a... How can I word this? A West Coast talent evaluator? Does it sound like a good wording?
Yeah, no, it's great.
He told me he would dump out all of the Celtics' assets to get this kid, this international kid.
He would.
He would give up all 4 picks next year, Rozier, Morris, whatever it took to get up the board to get this guy because he thinks that this guy is that good. He'd take him at number 1 if he could.
All right, if they have to get to number 2 before Atlanta to get him. Is that enough? They don't have enough?
I don't think they do, no.
Can you go from 27 to 2?
I mean, they don't have enough, assuming that they want to keep, you know, Brown, Tatum.
No. If it's Rozier, Morris, and every pick that they have in their cupboard.
Not enough. Nope. Not enough. I mean, again, you know, they couldn't make that deal with Philly until they knew they had the number 1 pick, for crying out loud, to get, you know, to get number 3 and another first.
So Russillo says moving up into the top 10. To me, like, I'm all for the thing we just said. If they believe Doncic is the guy and Danny's on a hot streak at the draft, I'm going to ride his hot hand, trust that Doncic can play, and just if they believe this year's a much better draft than next year, what's the point of that Sacramento pick, even if it's a top 5 pick in a lousy draft? What does that get you? So I'm all for them taking future draft picks, moving up in this one, targeting a guy, go nuts, I'm fine. If they only do that for the 9th pick, though, like when Russillo says top 10, I want that to be top 6 and Doncic. I don't want it to be number 9 and just like the 4th or 5th best big guy in the draft. You know what I mean? Like,
to me,
that's not worth it.
Well, so I think this then becomes about the specific player who's available. And on draft night, the guy slides and you can go get him. Right? Like, to me, that's what that becomes. But otherwise, no. I mean, you know, I'm not doing it just to do it. Like, just to get up there? What's the point of that? But let's just say, hypothetically, okay, you know, the...
What I mean, Maz, is...
For example, let me just give you a good example, because I'm looking at one of the latest mock drafts. This kid, Michael Porter, who was at Missouri, got hurt. A year ago, this kid was projected as the number 1 pick in the draft.
So Stu heard this name as well.
Okay, so Michael Porter, now in some mock drafts, has slipped all the way to number 9. Let's say the Celtics looked at it and said, this kid's the best player in the draft. And now he slid to 9, and you can trade up at 9 and get him, then you do it.
Okay, you've convinced me.
Right? So in other words, you know, there's some fluctuation of rankings and talent there in any draft. But if they say, well, we want to get into the top 10, we don't care who it is, we want to get... No. No, not a number nine, not in that league. Like, to me, I wouldn't do it. I think that's dumb. If it's a specific player and he slides, then go get him. Then go get him. But otherwise, no.
All right, there's that. Did you have something else, Jimmy? I saw you cozy up to the mic.
No, I was going to follow up Maz's example. Avery Bradley, the year that the Celtics drafted him, he was projected as the number one pick in the country, and he slid all the way down to wherever he slid to. So it is possible. Danny seems to like the kids who are projected high out of high school and early in the year projected as high draft picks.
Well, Tatum a year ago was the number one, consensus number one guy in that draft, and he slipped only a couple spots, but you know, there's your latest example. So, all right, keep an eye on that. Kyrie Irving. We have a developing insight. Notice I didn't just say opinion. I'm putting a little more weight on this than just an opinion, because Maz actually does speak to people.
I try to work the phones every now and then.
He actually tries to have informed opinions from time to time.
It's the reporter in me.
Who had that Kyrie knee surgery first?
So I'm just saying, this is more than just a developing opinion. This is developing insight. So put a little more weight into it. What do you have?
Okay, so I made some calls today regarding, and I got into a general discussion. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of the background. I know how much you love story time, but I was trying to get, I was having a general discussion with someone about the power that NBA players have. Okay, because to me, NBA players have too much power. And someone said to me, well, you know, most guys actually work with their teams. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, look at what's happened over the last couple of years. Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to sign with San Antonio. So he tells him, you got to trade me. Which is actually doing the Spurs a favor. Because a year from now, Kawhi Leonard could leave via free agency and screw them entirely. So let's just use this example for a few guys in the last couple of years. Paul George in Indiana. Listen, I'm not going to sign here. Okay, fine, we're going to trade you to Oklahoma City. At least we get something for you. We appreciate you letting us know. Kevin Durant totally screwed Oklahoma City. He just left them via free agency, and they got jacked for him. Zero. Kawhi Leonard and Kyrie Irving. Cleveland Cavaliers. Guys, I'm not signing here. I'm telling you now, 2 years in advance. You want to move me, move me. Because you'll get something now, you're not going to get anything in 2 years. I'm out of here. So if we use that as some sort of barometer, particularly as it pertains to Kyrie, if he wanted out of Boston because he didn't think he was going to re-sign here, he told Cleveland. So I would hope that he would tell the Celtics, look, I'm up in a year, but I'm not re-signing here. So if you want to do something, move me now. So the fact that he's hemming and hawing could be seen as a positive. However, he was with Cleveland his whole time. I mean, he was drafted by them. He was there a long time. Maybe there were some relationships there. He's flying by night here, maybe. You know, the other side of the point is this. If he leaves them next year, if he gives them no indication that he's going to sign somewhere else and then leaves next year, dink move. Durant dink move. Because it feels like the players, at least a lot of them, do work with their teams in terms of facilitating a departure. So fine, I'm not signing here. You know, look, thanks, but no thanks. However, I'm telling you now, so if you want to move me and you can get something for me.
And you don't think Kyrie's there? Like, you don't think behind the scenes Kyrie could be there? And publicly, we're just hearing the non-committalness, but behind the scenes, he's doing exactly what you're saying?
I mean, how come we heard about it publicly with Cleveland?
Because it's Cleveland. I don't know.
So, okay, so look, I'm not telling you it's exactly a perfect apples-to-apples comparison. I'm just telling you, with Cleveland, he wasn't going to sign there, and he told him that, and we all heard about it. And with Kawhi Leonard, he isn't signing in San Antonio, and we all heard about it. Paul George, we all heard about it. And Jimmy can probably cite some more examples than I can, because his, you know, NBA knowledge is better than mine. So, I don't know. Like, I look at it and say...
So now you're more encouraged about Kyrie...
I wouldn't say I'm encouraged. Maybe I'm less discouraged than I was, but I'm not totally convinced he's out of here. Like, I think that they're having conversations with him and they have an open line of communication.
Okay, so there's some Kyrie insight for you. Do you got something, Murray?
No, just thinking about it. I mean, there was certainly a tone of finality to everything with Cleveland at the end with Kyrie. I mean, you knew he was not going to be there at, you know, he wasn't going to re-up. Here, It's wishy-washy, but it's more positive than anything else.
All I'm saying is this. Let's not necessarily judge them on what we're doing. Let's judge them on what they're not doing. Because in that league, I think it actually makes a difference. And then he's not asking for a trade. In Cleveland, he did. George, you know, told them he wasn't going to re-sign. Trade me, they did. Kawhi Leonard is saying, trade me, they're going to, I think. And he's not doing that here. I don't think.
Okay, you don't think. We'll see. Kawhi Leonard's still out there. You're still considered a favorite. Is Kyrie part of that discussion? Is some of your young players part of that discussion? How do you feel about that? Moving up the board, how do you feel about that? And who the Celtics might be targeting? Real quick, Paul George, reports overnight that they're talking about, you know, re-signing him in OKC and they've started discussions. Is that still happening? What's the latest on that, Stu?
That's what I've read, is that there's a chance that OKC is going to retain him, which reads to me that LeBron doesn't want him on the Lakers.
Well, I mean, seriously, no, but I mean, like, how do we read that? I mean, you've got to tie that into LeBron and the Lakers, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, sure.
So what does that mean? That either LeBron's not going to the Lakers or LeBron doesn't want him there?
Yeah, that's how I interpret that.
Maybe it's Kawhi or George, but not both. I mean, I know there's a scenario in which they could get everybody.
They can.
But maybe it's one or the other, or he's got someone else lined up, like, you know, Chris Paul. Who the hell knows?
And right. Chris Paul's reportedly been making a hell of a pitch to get him to Houston, so maybe he already knows what the decision is. He's going there, and that's why Paul George is going to stay in OKC.
The one thing I know is that LeBron, as star player, coach, and GM, LeBron has a plan.
There's some sort of domino there.
Absolutely. LeBron has a plan. He's got something lined up because he's LeBron.
Okay, we started Red Sox with all their issues from last night's game, and David Price, again, the Brady stuff always on the table as that continues to develop. At least our perceptions do of that story. And NBA stuff with you. Your calls right after this.
Felger and Mez. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
For the Spurs, the most appealing potential package out there is Boston. Hmm. All the draft picks they have going forward. You know, and then a Jaylen Brown, a Jason Tatum. They're going to have a really hard time getting Jason Tatum out of Boston. I think he's made himself pretty close to untouchable. But Brown would be likely in any package. But here's what other teams want to know. If we trade for Kawhi Leonard, do we have a chance to re-sign him? Boston doesn't have to take risks. They don't have to give up assets on the hope of signing. They can just stand pat and be really good and wait for another big player to become available. And so what I'm told will happen here is that Kawhi will make it clear to teams, if he hasn't started to do already through third party, I'm going to be in LA in 2019, so you can trade for me, but I'm going to be a rental.
So again, that is Kawhi Leonard's leverage. He's apparently using it. You heard Adrian Wojnarowski say there that any part of the Boston package for Kawhi would include Jaylen Brown. And we still believe, Jimmy, that ain't happening. They're not trading Jaylen Brown.
That's my belief, yes.
A lot of different reasons, one of which is if Leonard's telling people he's going to L.A. in a year anyway. That would be dumb. They're not going to do that. They're going to trade a piece like Jaylen Brown for a one-year rental. Just not going to do it.
I also think that Jaylen Brown might be the key to the Anthony Davis deal.
And I was just going to say, the other reason is Gianni wants to save bullets for what he really wants, which is Anthony Davis. No guarantee he ever gets them, but if you expend those bullets on Kawhi Leonard, you're not going to have enough to go after the one you really want.
No, he'll Angel will hold chips for that player.
So this is why, again, I would go Kyrie Irving first. And, you know, sort of back to your thing. I mean, you're more optimistic about his future here. If they're not getting commitments from him, then I would trade him for Kawhi Leonard even without a commitment, because I'm trading. They would have the same flight risk, right? I have to do the same thing on both of them. Hope that they stay, and if they don't, they don't.
Hey, listen, I'm not telling you I'm confident. I'm just telling you that based on the past, guys who want out and in the NBA ask out, and it becomes public. And so, you know, that. Now, again, maybe there are people that are more shrewd. Maybe Kyrie learned a lesson from Cleveland, and now he's not saying it publicly. But in Cleveland, he asked out. Here, to our knowledge, he hasn't done that here.
Back to your phone. Sean and Natick. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if you guys think the Celtics should trade up in the draft. Personally, I do not think they should. I think any of the players they could get, the asking price would be too high for any of them, and I don't think they would make enough of an impact on the team. I just wanted your opinion.
Okay, well, I told you before, if what you're giving is Rozier, Marcus Morris, and every pick that you have, and you really like the guy that you're getting up high, go do it. Fine with me, because I don't care about any of those pieces. I'm not trading Brown, Tatum, like, I'm not trading any of those. The Sacramento pick's the one pick that you have to look at. And, you know, that would be tough to give up because it could potentially be the number two pick next year. But there's also a chance it's at the end of the first round because if it's the number one pick, it conveys to Philly and you get Philly's pick. And they'll be in the high 20s. So there's risk attached to that Sacramento pick. And I'll trust all the hoop heads who tell me next year's draft sucks. So even if it is, call it the third pick, fourth pick next year from Sacramento. What if it's a lousy draft? And what if Danny likes the guys this year much better? I'll trust him again, like he's on a roll. I'm all for that, given, you know, those parameters. So I think Morris is gone anyway. I don't think he wants to be here.
Feels that way.
And I think Terry Rozier is just a guy who had a nice year with extended time, but nothing special. You should be able to replace him. And so if that's the cost, fine with me. Go do it.
So I would do it too. I mean, to me, like, it's almost easy. But would you still give up Rozier if Kyrie is uncertain? You follow me? In other words, you might not need Rozier
right, exactly.
longer term.
Right. I'd rethink that. That's fair. Sure.
I wouldn't. Point guards are a dime a dozen this league.
I was just going to say, they're all
over
the place.
And Brad Stevens has had tremendous historical success developing point guards.
I was just going to say, they are kind of all over the place. I mean, Dennis Schroeder in Atlanta is available now. Not that
Danny Ainge even one year said 20 of 30 NBA teams have point guards they're happy with.
Exactly. Rondo, a guy like Rondo or Schroeder is always floating around. You need a guy to bring the ball up the floor and distribute. There's like dime a dozen. Not a problem. So I would rethink it with Rozier, but that wouldn't prevent me. I would like to think I could find another Terry Rozier or something close. Fred in Rhode Island on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I think that Brady is all about Brady. He's about nobody but Brady. He doesn't care about the team whatsoever, and he's proven that now. Whenever you go on and you do an interview with Oprah Winfrey and you're talking football, all you're worrying about is your legacy. That's why he wanted to get rid of Jimmy
okay,
G.
Okay, right. So that bothers you, Fred?
Actually, I'm a Giants fan, so
okay.
It bothers you guys more than me.
Right, so you're loving it. The point is, I agree. It's more about himself now than the team. And in a vacuum, I don't like that. Who would like it? I just sort of accept it. So this is who he is now. And I want the team going to Super Bowls and still contending. So how do I do that? I do that with Tom Brady with all of his needs now and his diva behavior and his selfishness. I do that over Brian Hoyer as the ultimate team guy. That's just sort of what I've decided. Or whatever rookie or whatever bag of crap they pull off in NFL free agency or whatever. They have no option. They left themselves with no other plan at the position. And so I'm taking Brady with all of his problems now, you know, in air quotes, perceived problems, right? What he's become, which I don't like either. But that to me is a hell of a lot better alternative than anything else you could give me right now.
So I just think that you can take that without giving him more money.
What aggravates me is that if he had just shown these colors last year, I think the decision on Garoppolo would have been a lot more clear. And it would have been, in my mind, easier. All right, Brady's pulling this crap now at 40. See you later. We got the next guy. Like, clear cut. What bothers me is that he hit all this and didn't let all this out. And then as soon as the kid goes, now he lets it all out. Well, that's sort of a bait and switch. Like, I don't like that. But you know what? Since we have nothing left but our schmenzer in our hands, I'm going to give in to you and give you what you want, and let's, you know, go to a couple other Super Bowls.
See, but again, like, to me, this is just the difference. I'm not telling you I don't want Brady anymore. Of course I do. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that. Well, Murray, what Murray,
so right,
what choice
Murray.
Do you have?
So then, yeah, pay him, give him what he wants.
No, you.
And
just,
even if it's not about money, give him what he used to have. I.e. the access that Alex Guerrero used to have. You took that away from him? Why'd you take it away from me? Explain that, Bill.
So he essentially has that in home games now. He just has to go up to the suite instead of doing his game day routine somewhere else. So you want to tell me that you move his game day routine somewhere closer to the locker room, make it easier for him? Fine.
There is a lot of middle ground there on Alex.
Fine.
It feels like.
I don't care about that one. Team flights? No.
Why? What do you care about that?
Because I don't want him around the other players on the team.
They have this huge jumbo jet. Have you seen this thing?
I know what it is. Yeah, I understand how teams travel now. Thank
you. No. But specifically theirs. Aircraft, like that jumbo jet thing that they got?
It's huge.
You can stuff Alex in the storage downstairs, or stowage, whatever. Put him in the lav.
Okay, that I would allow.
No one will even notice he's there. Let's stuff him in a suitcase.
Fine, fold him up, stick him in a garment bag if you want.
Exactly right.
I don't care what you do. Just don't let him sit with the normal people.
Fine. Now, there's middle ground there. I want him on the plane. Well, I don't want to see him. Fine. We'll stuff him in back with the Stewies. Like, whatever it takes. Like, there's a lot of middle ground there on Alex that they should be able to give Brady a contract, work with him on Guerrero, and let's get the old Brady back and maximize these next 2 to 3
years.
I'm
not giving him the contract. And I'm not giving him much ground on Guerrero.
Again, because you've...
No, because here's my point, okay? If it was so important for Brady to get Garoppolo gone, then why does... You know, he wants to play, clearly. So I think he's bluffing. He wants to play. If, like you said, the bait and switch, he screwed him. That's what he was, you know.
And Bill screwed him first by taking away one of his perks. You took it away. Why did you take it away? I still have no explanation, and you won't give it back to me? No, then you know what? Well, no, I want more money.
Maz's point is that you don't have to give him anything. He's still going to show up and play.
Exactly.
Which he might, but he's got the one foot in, one foot out thing, which I'm not interested in.
And
when
maybe
the game,
for this
when the
year.
Games start, he won't.
And maybe for this year. So if you give
him
a new contract.
Up. It'll show up. Of course he'll care on Sunday. But if you don't put in the work beforehand, and if your mind's not in the same place beforehand, you're not going to get the same play on Sundays. It's just not. It just doesn't work that way.
Look, I don't like the fact that he missed OTAs either. Again, but you and I disagree on ultimately the grand impact of the OTAs. To me, it's more indicative of continued fracture between him and Belichick. To me, that's the issue. But you tell me he's not going to practice hard? They're going to go 2-2, and Tom Brady's just going to say, no big deal.
I don't know. He might. I mean,
no way.
You mentioned it earlier. How do they overcome adversity?
He's not wired that way.
I didn't think he was wired this way. I don't think he was ever wired to the point that he missed these spring practices, but he's doing it. John in Pawtucket with the Red Sox thought. Go ahead, John. John! His comment line says, Thornburg and Smith. I'm just going to pick it up for him and say that those were Dave Dombrowski's two big bullpen acquisitions here the last couple of years, and they're getting diddly dog poo out of him. 0.0. And my statement was going to be, well, welcome to Dave Dombrowski. Guy's never been able to build a bullpen. You've got a massive issue in the eighth inning now. Never mind the manager, who knows if he knows how to make the right decision there, because he brought in Robbie Scott last night to start the eighth inning when he had a full, healthy bullpen with everyone available. He brings in the kid from Pawtucket. So the manager's on the list. But they desperately need a eighth inning help, and they don't have anything to trade because they've gutted their farm system. And even if Dombrowski did, would he pick the right guy? Because he never did in Detroit, and he still hasn't here. So... that's my answer to that. I don't know if that was your question, but that's what I got.
Oh, they've gotten jack squat out of those two guys. Zero. And look, Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal asked Dombrowski point blank, do you have enough in the minor leagues to make a deal? And he said, there's no question we do. Yes. Lie.
What exactly?
Lie. To lie. To lie. Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to, of course they're going to make a deal. The question is, what kind of player are they going to get? The best reliever on the market just got dealt. To my knowledge, they weren't in on it. Why not? Because they don't have the players, they don't have the money to I don't even know what Herrera's salary is, so the money's probably a lesser factor.
Or you're back in the same position you were with, like, the Machado thing, which is what they're left to ask for Devers, because there's nothing in the farm. There's nothing in your system. So they have to go Devers or Benintendi. There's a good reliever in San Diego who's available, who apparently they called on.
Mr. Hand, Brad Hand.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Hand. So Mr. Hand there, the Sox call, and the Padres, we mentioned this yesterday, but I also read it. It's like, well, we got to ask for Devers because there's nothing worth it in your system.
Correct.
So you're not going to trade Devers for what's going to be a setup guy. Like, you just, so they're stuck. They're not going to get, like, the bank commercials on this station. Mr. Jack Squat is what they're going to get in that bullpen, right?
I mean, to me, I just don't see how they're going to get a premium guy. And I think they're at a stage where they should be looking for a premium guy. So will they get a player? Of course. There's going to be a million players available. And I say that because the American League blows. There are a lot of bad teams out there, which means there are going to be players available on those teams, and there are fewer buyers and sellers in the American League. Fine. No problem. Great. It's a buyer's market. Absolutely. But what kind of guy are you going to get? Like, to me, that's the question.
More of your phones right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Continuing with your calls, here's Jimmy in Rhode Island.
Hey,
following up on Maz's thought about Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Jimmy. I'm sorry. Go.
So I just want to point out what you said about Kyrie maybe wanting out behind the scenes. I just want to point out that he did say that he wanted to win a championship in Boston. So, I mean, that's all I have.
All right. I don't think Kyrie wants out. I don't think he's unhappy here. I don't think he, quote-unquote, wants out. I think it's possible that he's always wanted to play somewhere else, just because,
sure,
he's always wanted to play somewhere else. He's from New Jersey, so he wants to be a Knick. or he likes making movies, so he wants to be in Los Angeles. Like, that's sort of possible, that all those years in Cleveland, he was saying to himself, when I become a free agent, I get to choose where to go. I'm going to go here because of this reason. And so he was traded to Boston in the meantime, but he still wants to get to where he wants to get to. Nothing against you. So it's not technically that he wants out. I would also say it's also possible he just wants to keep his options open because he wants to experience NBA free agency, like I keep saying. He's a diva like the rest of these guys. He wants his Hampton rental. He wants to be able to have all the teams come to him and beg him and plead him to come to their team and go through the process and give the decision and do all of that. And maybe he wants that too. I don't think he, quote unquote, wants out, but that doesn't mean he's guaranteed to be here.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's where I stand.
No, look, I don't know that he's unhappy. I'm just telling you that again. And I'm just, you know, to me, guys who have been traded in recent years have told their teams they weren't going to re-sign. So, and it doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Just publicly, it doesn't appear that has happened with the Celtics.
We've got Willie in New Hampshire on the Patriots. Hi, Willie.
Hey, first time, long time. Just a thought. Recently, I recall that Brady's dad said something to the effect that things weren't going to end well in New England. And I'm wondering if part of the way Bob Kraft has gone about, you know, telling Bill that he had to trade Jimmy G and, you know, kind of pandering to Brady isn't all because of this fact happening a couple years ago.
So it's not, Willie, it's not because Tom Sr. said it. It's because Robert wants it. Robert wants it to end well here with Brady. And he's going to see that it happens. And that's that. That's that. That's why I think Brady's going to get his money and it's going to end well here. I've always thought it was going to end well here. And Brady not, you know, this offseason stuns me. I didn't think this was going to happen. But I think Kraft is going to do things he hasn't done in a long time that he shouldn't do. But he's going to do things to make Brady happy on the way out the door. I believe that. I believe that will happen.
Well, so this gets back to the comment Jonathan made at the Super Bowl, right?
Robert will pay off the personal loyalty to Tom Brady all the way to the end.
Yeah, that Brady has the right to decide when he hangs it up.
Something like that.
I mean, that they've pretty much empowered him to do that. So the question is, did it cost him the coach in the process?
A little bit.
I mean, it clearly cost him Garoppolo. We don't need to revisit that one. But did it cost him the coach in the process? Like, so, we'll know eventually. If Bill just gets up and goes, well, that's that.
Mike in Framingham with the Red Sox thought for us. Hi, Michael.
Hi, this is Mike. I'm calling about, I wanted to mention Jackie Bradley Jr., Brock Holtz, and Rafael Devers. I think that definitely the Red Sox should make a move.
They have to do something with Bradley. I don't know how Devers fits into that, Mike, but how much longer can you carry someone who has a 180 batting average and a 530-something OPS?
You can't.
How long can you do it? And last night he killed him. Never mind the 0-for-3. Never mind the, you know, the situation in the eighth inning there. He had a two-base error. Right? Did they give him a one-base error or a two-base error on that single?
So I think technically the hit went down as a double, so it was only a one-base error.
Whatever. He even killed him in the field, even though he took one back later in the inning with throwing someone out. But he's just killing you. How can you have him out there every single day?
Well, so look, during the regular season, they can probably get away with it. I mean, they have thus far. Again, given what the competition is in the American League. But with the automatic outs that they have at the bottom of the order, you know, and I don't know, maybe Cora does it differently when we get them, but he's not inspiring a lot of confidence in me either. I just think Jackie Bradley's a negative. I don't see how you look at Bradley and look at him as a positive on the team. He's not a positive asset. He's a negative.
Couple open lines for you at 617-779-0985. You can grab them. Steve in Holyoke, what do you got?
Hi, guys. I just want to say this is why Brady is really unhappy. Of every quarterback that's won two Super Bowls, Brady is the only one who's fumbled the ball on a potential winning drive. And, you know, the defense played poor, so did Philly's defense played poor. At least they gave him the ball back twice in the fourth quarter.
So your point is,
so it's Brady's fault they lost that game.
Brady, call of the day.
Brady blew the Super Bowl.
Call of the day. Call of the year, potentially.
But this is why Brady's upset. That piece doesn't make sense to me. But if you just want to say in general, we don't hear nearly enough about the fumble at the end of the game. I mean, I think you would have half a point there. Front side blitz right in front of him.
Yeah, it's
a
bad play.
If I told you going into the game that Brady would have the ball with, I don't know, how much time was left?
Couple of minutes.
Like 4 minutes left, down 4 points, you'd say, I'll take that all day long. We did. I remember I was on TV debating these Philly guys before the game. And the question in Philadelphia was, would you rather be trailing by 3 points with 3 minutes left in the ball? Or would you rather be ahead by four, but Brady has the ball with 3 minutes left? And they all said, give us the 3 point deficit with the ball.
Of course.
Right? Brady with the ball, 4 point lead, 4 minutes left, game over, right? Fumbled. He fumbled Murray.
Yeah. I just don't agree with how nonchalant that caller was about, oh, the defense didn't play all that well. No, the defense was putrid. Maybe one of the worst performances in the history of the NFL in that whole second half. And what could have made them better? Huh. I wonder. Was there a guy on that bench that made one of the greatest, if not the greatest, defensive plays in Super Bowl history that could have helped maybe on one play? Maybe could have subbed in for Johnson Batamosi, that bum who's a special teamer, or, oh, I don't know, Jordan Richards? Huh. Yeah, I wonder if there was someone there that could have helped. Ah, I don't know.
Fumbled with 2:16 left to go.
2:16 left.
Yeah.
2:16.
Yep, 2 minutes to go.
And you understand.
Look at that game as a whole, though. You knew it was inevitability that bad was coming. And if he wasn't in that game, he's...
Second and two.
Well, hey, he's...
Second and two.
It's fine.
All I have to do is dump it off.
Save this team's ass again.
Let me give you another one.
Put it all on my shoulders again.
Let me give you another one.
Lord knows if I wasn't there, we're going to lose by 50.
Did you know that Philly kicked a field goal with 58 seconds left? You were getting the ball back with 58 seconds down.
110 was the field goal.
Down eight.
Down eight is correct.
So you were down eight. So
oh, yeah, they were definitely coming back there.
So you were down eight.
Yeah.
No timeouts.
So were you down five? It must have been when that happens. Either way. So you're down eight, and you have 58 seconds left, I think, when the kickoff comes. Do you remember what you did with the kickoff?
No, I was out of the building at that point.
Oh, that's right. You
Yeah, he fumbles. Mike, the game was
no,
over.
No, I'm not talking about the fumble. This is something else. But yeah. People forget this. Do you remember what they did?
So they started at the 9-yard line.
Do you remember they tried a little reverse to Burkhead and he got tackled for a long... Do you remember
that's
that?
Right.
Do you remember that? See, a lot of you had turned off I can't watch it anymore! He turned it off. Murray stormed out of the stadium.
Right after that fumble.
But they still had a chance to tie it with a minute left. And they were throwing Hail Marys at the end of the game. So they did bring
Yeah,
did
let's just throw it up for Chris Hogan. Brilliant idea.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They did. They ended up with a 4th and 10, and then he completed a 13-yarder to Amendola. But they were chucking the ball. So first play was deep down the right side for Hogan.
Brady had the ball twice inside the final 3 minutes with a chance to go ahead or tie the game.
Pass incomplete. Philip Dorsett. Nice play call.
Nice weapon, Philip Dorsett.
I mean, that's like the Super Bowl against the Giants, where they panicked at the end.
I'm just saying. I mean, everyone's a defense. Brady had the ball twice. At the end of the game,
with 2 minutes to go, and you can't win
with under 3 minutes left, one chance to go ahead, one chance to tie.
Sure,
and...
Bill, I'll bail this terrible defense and this terrible game plan out again. I'll try to do it all again.
Meanwhile, all the Red Sox second guessing and all the things that went wrong last night—the worst of the worst. We'll get to right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes. Heath Henry. Joe Kelly. And those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
Barn, Kelly, Thornburg, Scott, Thornburg, Kelly, Barn.
And today's gutless bum is...
Robbie Scott, are you f***ing kidding me?
2-2 pitch. Line shot into left center field. That is down for a hit. Throw to go all the way to the fence. That's going to score a couple of runs. And this one getting away here in the eighth inning.
1-1. Socked into right center field. Jackie Bradley, long run, won't get it. Gets by him. Escobar is in. Here comes Dozier rounding third. He's trying to score. He will as the throw trickles in. And Minnesota is starting to run away from the Boston Red Sox here tonight.
All right, so usually when we talk about the Red Sox bullpen problems, Alex Cora is kind of absolved in most cases because, you know, Joe Kelly gives it up and you say, well, what the heck? It's either him or Hembry. Well, you know, what's he supposed to do? And then he goes to Hembry and he gives it up. He say, well, what do you do? It's either him or Joe Kelly. So he's, you know, can't blame Cora. He has no one to go to out there. Most cases. Last night, not one of those cases. They're 2-2 in the eighth inning with Minnesota's at the seventh.
No, it was no, the, it was the eighth.
It was the eighth inning.
It was the eighth inning.
They had just tied it in the top of the inning with the two-out RBI by Sandy Leone. So they're 2-2 in the eighth inning. Your entire bullpen's available. They had an off day the day before. All their regular bullpen arms had at least 4 days rest, with the exception of Barnes, who had 2 or 3 days rest. But they were all rested, all available. And Alex Cora goes with Robbie Scott, who had just been called up from Pawtucket in his first major league outing of the season. To lead off the eighth inning, he walks the first batter, hits the second.
Correct.
And then Joe Kelly comes in and gives it up, and you go on to lose 6-2. How'd you feel about that, Murray?
I mean, it's brutal. It just doesn't make, it's inexcusable. So I'm thinking about like the game that drove me nuts that we talked about the other day with Matt Barnes, comes in Friday night. But I get it, because he was their best available option, considering that Kelly was gassed, and the same with Kimbrell from the David Price game to start that series with Seattle. So Barnes is their best option, and that's the hand you're dealt. Last night, everybody's available. What the hell is Robbie Scott doing in that game? It really is inexcusable, and maybe if you want to play the sound, Cora at least afterwards, and this makes me actually feel worse, he's talking about how, well, he comes in a situation, it's the end of the lineup, and maybe he's trying to set him up because it's the end of the Minnesota lineup.
Well, so here it is. The first three batters of the inning were the ninth hitter, and then two left-handers, and so Scott's here to get left-handers. That's what Cora was referring to, I think. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Because we had, that was the perfect situation for him. Ninth hitter, then Joe, then Eddie. That's what he's here for, to get lefties out. And we felt that their ninth hitter, he wasn't going to do damage against him. And whatever, he got Eddie out, but at that point, I made up my mind that, if they're going to score, it has to be against Joe in that spot.
And they did. They scored against Joe.
Yeah, so it's a perfect situation there for Robbie Scott in a 2-2 game. Okay, you are looking at that as the end of the lineup, and that is quote-unquote perfect for him. So what I hear out of that is that's a relatively low-stakes situation for this guy we just brought up from Pawtucket, so I'm going to do him a solid. Well, you're just trying to be the good guy manager? You're trying to be good cop here? Or are you trying to win the effing game? Because now you're a game behind the Yankees. Which is it, Alex? Like, that's one of his worst moves thus far as the manager of this team. That is absolutely inexcusable to put Robbie Scott in that situation in that game.
I mean, to me,
Robbie Scott.
Yeah, blew me away.
Oh,
I mean, really.
God.
Because, again, you had both guys up. And so, look, clearly he had Kelly up as well before the inning started while the Red Sox were batting. And so they tied the game at 2, and he clearly had it in his mind that if we go ahead, Kelly's coming in. If it's tied, I'll start the inning with Scott. And then men got on base, and his explanation even makes it more convoluted. Well, if they were going to score, they were going to score against Kelly. Well, then why didn't you start with Kelly? Kelly's dominated lefties all year long.
Furthermore, I was just going to say, Kelly has a 109 batting average against lefties this year.
And it was better than that going into the game. I think it was under 100 going into the game. So, like, you look at the whole thing and say, no, you go to Kelly there. And then as the inning went on, it actually got worse, because after Scott got, Rosario, right, the number two hitter, the next batter is Escobar, who's a switch. Escobar is better from the left side, so they brought Kelly in and put Escobar on his left side. Like, at that point, you might as well just stick with Scott and let him give you one more batter. He got the last guy out. So I felt like Cora was kind of all over the map in that eighth inning. And, he takes a bullet last night, or one of them, so to speak.
You know, with that statement, again, I'm convinced he's just trying to be like the good guy there. Low stakes here. We're bringing the kid. We just brought him up.
They just added him to the roster.
Low stakes. Tie game, eighth inning. Yankees had won.
But the way he's explaining the end of the lineup there, I think he's looking he'll be able to get past this. And it blew up on him.
If he were a reliable reliever, if they regarded him as a reliable reliever, he would have been on the team all year long. So you just add him to the roster on June 19th? Like, you bring this guy up, and this guy you sent out is the 25th man on your roster, literally? That guy, Justin Haley, who I had never even heard of until last week. He goes out, Scott comes up, and now he's pitching the eighth inning in a 2-2 game? Oh, it blew me away. No, look, is it the end of the world? No, of course not. The league sucks.
No, but that's what happened last night, so we're discussing it. Other things, Red Sox with Jackie Bradley continuing to kill you. Maz, if you can believe it, still thinks Chris Sale's got to win that game. Chris Sale's your ace to win 1-0 games, not lose 1-0 games, right, Maz?
Yeah, why is that so hard to believe?
Because it's just hard to get on a guy for losing 1-0.
He had a 1-0 lead against a bad lineup.
He's had the worst run support in baseball.
I don't care. He had a lead against a bad lineup, and, against other pitchers that are, you know, at the top of the rotation, which is who Sale's going to face, you're going to have tight games. That's life.
So that's why I mentioned that, because, folks, how do you feel about that? Mass blaming Chris Sale for, you know, not losing 1-0, because it obviously turned into more than that, but not being able to hold a 1-0 lead. So Sale's on Maz's list. Is he on yours? I mentioned Jackie Bradley killing you on both sides of the ball now, if you will, offensively as usual, but a key defensive play as well. How is he in the is he in the lineup tonight?
Oh, yeah, he's back in.
It's unbelievable how this guy gets a lineup spot every night. That's on the table. All the nerds that wouldn't trade Jackie Bradley for Jose Abreu, I want to bring that back up, which I did earlier in the show. Read those hysterical stories from last offseason, how Jackie Bradley has a higher WAR than Jose Abreu, and you can't trade Jackie Bradley for Jose Abreu. I want to bring that one back up.
Yeah, he's a guy you want to go to war with.
You can always hit on the Brady stuff. Also, the latest in the NBA. All of it, I promise, with your calls. Oh, and David Price once again being a peni. Now, that's on the table as well. Right to you after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.